Well, there was 81 different women from 11 different countries that have all, in one way or another, been affected by militarization. So it was a specifically women's conference, and that was basically because women seem to be the most affected by the have most impact of militarization.
And do you mean militarization by a particular country?
Particularly, well, the US seems to be the biggest military bases. They seem to have developed more military bases than most, but Australia has its fair share as well. So basically it's about developing military bases in countries that are not your own ground, and it, more or less it's like an occupation because the country rarely has a choice.
Okay, so while you were there, you actually spoke to a lot of the women who were at the conference, particularly women from Korea, where there is a really large US presence. We'll just have a listen to one of those interviews now.
When the US soldiers come back from Iraq and go back to the United States, they volunteer to come back to the Korean base. And when they come here, they usually do violent actions toward the civil people. But when they're arrested, the excuse that they make up is saying that I do not remember anything. At that time, I was drunk, and during my drunkenness, I had a trauma of using such violence due to the Iraq war experience.
You can understand that the soldiers would be traumatized, but I don't understand how that excuses.
Well, we do understand that the soldiers must have gone through a terrifying trauma. We understand the situation, but what we are protesting about is that the United States government should take good care of them. If they have trauma, they should have great medical care, and if they have such trauma, they shouldn't be sent to the Korean base.
Okay, so Sue, tell us about the impact that the US military presence has had on Korea. Obviously, by the sound of that interview, it's been pretty devastating.
Well, it has, and the US and Korea have what's called a SOFA, which is a Status of Forces Agreement, which basically is signed and allows the US to come in ways that aren't seen to be an occupation. So if they hadn't signed that agreement, and I must say too, the mainly people are, countries are coerced to sign this agreement, and they're coerced through trade. But if countries didn't sign the agreement, the US would occupy them. So they really don't have a lot of choices. But in Korea, a lot of people come back from places like Iraq, and they're so shell-shocked from being in Iraq that they have to go on and finish their military service. So they choose to go to Korea as opposed to going back to Iraq. And, of course, that has a huge impact on the local civilian population.
So these are soldiers who are suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder from their military service, coming back and acting out, if you like, in the communities that they're placed in.
I think that's a bit generous. Sometimes I think that that certainly may be the case, but I think sometimes they're just horrible soldiers.
What is the attitude of the US soldiers there towards people in the local communities, and particularly towards women?
The military, when they're trained, and particularly the US military, and I might say I had a look at a curriculum that was in that was being used for US military personnel, for men particularly, and they're told that they are a superior race, that they're not only superior, that they are going in to free the poor people of the land that they're occupying. So they go in there believing that they have God-given rights to do whatever they want to do. And that's evident. It's evident. You see it everywhere.
It sounds very Third Reich-like, doesn't it?
It is very Third Reich-like. But there's also some very insidious ways that the military manage to capture people's attention. They will go up to people and they'll say, "Well, you give you send your son to Iraq with us, and what we'll do is we'll make sure that your children get educated. The rest of your children get educated, because education is not necessarily something that's compulsory in places like Guam. So it's like a family makes a sacrifice of their husband, father, son, whatever, and then the rest of the family get rights. They can go to hospital, they can have education, and that's insidious the way that they do that.
Okay, so the women at the conference that you attended, were they actually calling for the US to pull out of these countries altogether?
No, it was more because most people are realistic enough to know that that is not going to happen. It was more a unity, a form of sharing, of people being able to get together to share their experience and to heal in some instances, because a lot of the people at the conference were women who've actually been trafficked themselves for the comfort of military personnel.
So are you saying that we have similar to the Japanese comfort women, that many Korean women who were supplied to the Japanese military in the
Not
Second
just
World
Korean.
War, that there's a similar thing happening today?
Yes.
That women are being supplied for sexual purposes to the US military?
All over the world. And don't forget Australia. Australia is deeply involved in this. And it's happening all over the world.
This is pretty shocking. You've obviously brought these stories back to Australia. Is there an Australian movement to try and assist these women?
There will be soon.